Hello and welcome to episode number 32 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union, the Sweet 16 edition. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal.
We should have 16 candles out for this. We should have 16 eyes to light.
Yes, that would be a good thing. I like that.
Illinois is into the Sweet 16 after a win over VCU on Saturday. Illinois women won on the very same night in the first round of the NCAA tournament, beating Colorado. Those are our main talking points. Well, we've got some other Illini sports to pass some nuggets along as well. Producer Ella Peterson is here, and we are in the U of I's Armory in the Center for Teaching and Innovation. We appreciate their hospitality, and we appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for liking and subscribing to the pod. Before we go any further, it's March, Robert.
It's Blue Eye March, and so when we light the eye, it better be blue. It is.
I already know, we didn't discuss this ahead of time, but I already know what you want to talk about first.
Really?
Last episode, we buried the lead a little bit, you know, in not talking immediately about a historic performance from Illinois in its first round game with the offensive output and the efficiency it had in that second half. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to skip over what is so obviously, I know, the biggest story for you. For the first time since 1999, I was in a Sweet 16.
I don't even know how to talk about it. If I when I say words about this, people are going to throw things at whatever listening device they're using because I have such irrational takes about Iowa fans in Houston.
Iowa will be in Houston. Nebraska will be in Houston. Illinois will be in Houston. Houston will be in Houston.
We're going to come back to this because people will turn off the show if I start on my Iowa and Nebraska.
Yeah, I was just trying to, you know, poke the bear a little bit. That's fine.
It is pokeable.
Look, all I'm going to say is an all Big Ten Final Four is still in play.
Yeah.
And
it's crazy.
And I don't know if that's your nightmare or your dream.
Absolute nightmare.
That is.
I'll say it this way, and this can frame it easily. In 2005, the other semifinal, if people remember, Illinois Louisville. The other semifinal was UNC Michigan State. It was a not so great Michigan State team that year, but they made it to the Final Four.
That's what Michigan State does.
Mm-hmm. And UNC was clearly the other team. Like all that season, it had been: is Illinois the best team, or is UNC the best team? And then when they met in the final, it was like, well, we're going to find out. Four NBA players over here, three NBA players over there. We're going to find out who's the best team. As I was watching the Michigan State and North Carolina game, I wanted North Carolina to win. It would have been way easier for Illinois to win a national title had Michigan State knocked them off. But just the idea of playing a Big Ten team in the final, it turns my stomach so deeply that I threw out all logic. I threw out all, hey, this is better for Illinois. Do you not realize that? And I get to, this is my nightmare.
Is this the take that you don't want to put out there right now because people are going to throw things?
Just wait until I talk about Iowa and how I don't want them there. We'll get to it. Let's talk about the good
thing. Okay, the good thing. So, deep breaths. You're okay. It's Monday. Okay. You're going to a Sweet 16.
We're good. Sweet 16.
You're going to a
We're
Sweet
good.
16.
We're fine. It doesn't affect me.
Matt Norlander put it out. It's the obvious, but it's still a see what I just did there? If you're watching, I just went, what? You know, like the double take, shake your head. Wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
First Sweet 16 for Iowa since 1999. Mm-hmm. Since 2005 season that you just referenced, Illinois has been to a Sweet 16 twice.
Yes.
You look at the, I mean, we've talked about it now. I mean, it is a sustained success for Illinois. And only twice now have they been to the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. Obviously 2 years ago and this year. It's a rare thing still.
Yes.
But it is a Sweet 16 team, and not as in a wow, they really pulled. And I mean, they are a legitimate Sweet 16. They are legitimately one of the 16 best teams in the country,
without question.
And once again, so just here's what I want to posit to you.
Yes.
Somebody close to me said, phew, we're in the Sweet 16. That's all I needed. Whatever else happens, it's been a great season.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I agree with that. I mean, 17 preseason, right? So if you're the number 17 preseason, you make the Sweet 16.
I don't care about preseason because preseason can be way off.
It is.
That's a guess.
It's a tough draw, obviously. You know, I saw a lot of takes yesterday of like, gosh, that Sweet 16 game, Illinois-Houston, they could be two of the four best teams remaining, and they're playing in this round. That could be a Final Four game kind of thing. So that makes it a little tough. Again, part of that is because of upsets in other spots and just the way
– like Iowa brackets, upsetting.
Yeah, we're not talking about that yet.
I forgot about that.
So it's a tough draw, but yes – Sweet 16 was the must. We'll say it that way. It was the must for this team the way the season played out. You can't not get to the Sweet 16. Look, Johnny, who a guy on a podcast we've had on Illini Board Forever called The Boardroom, made this fantastic point, and I want to bring it over here. The difference between Illinois and Nebraska was very slim this year. Both teams 15-5 split their head-to-head. The only difference, and the reason Illinois was a 3 seed, Nebraska was a 4 seed, was Illinois played and beat Tennessee. Illinois played and played Alabama close, played UConn, scheduled UConn, that type of thing. Had decent numbers in that. Played Missouri. Played beat who we beat in the preseason. We beat both. Tennessee, we beat Missouri, and we beat, who am I missing? Oh, Texas Tech. So three
Long
solid
Island.
Wins. And that's the difference. Yes, yes. Sorry, I forgot about
the Sharks.
I'm forgetting about FAU or who we played that one time. Anyway, point being, the non-conference wins, those two big wins over Texas Tech and Tennessee, are the ones that got Illinois the 3 seed and why Nebraska is a 4 seed. And we saw what being a 3 seed earns you, right? That Illinois lived in that 4-5 game for so long and lost so many of those games. Those 4-5, the loss to Notre Dame was in a 4-5 game. The loss to Washington in 2006, that was in a 4-5 game. That's a tough spot to be. When you get to the 3, the 6s are usually fairly flawed, and some of them lose to 11s. And if you go to the 7-10 game, if you go to the 2, that those 7-10 teams are pretty flawed as well. So 2 seed, 3 seed, 4 seed, there's a big drop down to the 4. So that line between 3 seed and 4 seed is a big one. And we saw exactly how that benefited Illinois. You had a flawed UNC team that had a 19-point lead and blew it in the last 14 minutes, lost to VCU, and Illinois had to just beat Penn and VCU to get to the Sweet 16, which isn't that difficult a road, but that's what getting a 3 seed earns you. Like, that line of getting a 3 seed and getting to play VCU, or having a 4 seed and having to play a very good Vandy team that nearly knocked off Nebraska, that's the benefit of getting that. That's why I obsess everywhere, every season, about just get out of that 4-5 line. That 4-5 line is death. Even if you get to the Sweet 16, you got a 1 seed facing you. Just get to that 3, and it proved itself really, really true this year with those two games.
So I wrote this down, does Houston have a problem with Illinois coming to town?
I mean, I think if Houston is saying, or if Illinois is saying, like, oh, man, these are probably two of the 5 best teams left and meeting in the Sweet 16, Houston is saying, you mean we could have a 3 seed like them or them, or we have to play Illinois? Like, there is that, call an ambulance, but not for me kind of thing going on here. That's a great reference. Not many people get it, but it's a fantastic reference. I'm going to pat myself on the back. Good job. There is
that one went right past me.
Yes, there is a hey, we sure they're a tough out, but so are we aspect to this game. That there is a, you know, look, what is Purdue as what, Texas, you know, like, and we have to play Houston. Like, there's a Illinois Purdue, we're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth all year, and Purdue climbing up to that two seed earned them this very sweet path all the way to the Elite Eight.
So. Yeah, but as a three seed, you're going to be playing, if it wasn't Houston, you're playing Purdue or Iowa State or UConn.
Yep. Yep. Going to be tough.
And, well, I mean, you beat Iowa State 2 years ago.
Yep.
And you're showing you could beat Purdue, but Purdue's showing they can beat anybody.
Yep.
I mean, it's at this point, it's they're all tough.
Yes.
The only thing here that stinks about it is Houston's at home. They're not on their home floor, but they're in their home city, which is extraordinary because even the one seeds aren't in their home city.
Yes, yes. Very reminiscent of Illinois 2005, getting to go to the Sweet 16 in Rosemont, you know?
Yeah, like, but I mean, even that is 2 hours from campus.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
This is in the same city.
That's
not
true.
The same state, the same city.
Yep.
But Dems to breaks.
Yep.
And it's not like Illinois hasn't won on the road before. It'd be very interesting to see how that crowd is. No doubt plenty of Houston people. But Illinois travels well, and we know that Iowa and Nebraska will bring massive quantities of fans.
I'm still not sure if Iowa will. Like, their average of attendance this year was, I think it was like 10,900, maybe 11,000 or something like that.
Yeah,
and
that's
they
fair.
Seat 15. So they drew a ton more players for the Luka Garza teams and for the Murray brothers and this and that.
Yeah, that's because, like, the fans were kind of like, what have you done for me lately now?
Yeah,
they haven't been winning, and women are good, and Caitlin Clark, we're going to go watch that.
Yeah, I made a joke in what I wrote today of, like, how many Iowa fans are like, oh, wait, who's on this team again? Like, hey, this is kind of exciting. I wasn't even paying attention. We're in Sweet 16? All right. Wait, we got that one guy that came with the coach. Who were the other players? Like, there are a lot of Iowa football fans that are focused on spring football. And, you know, they were 10-10 in the Big Ten. They just didn't pay attention, whatever, first year of the coach. Call me when we're good. And then suddenly that's the team that makes the Sweet 16. So I don't know how – maybe they'll travel. I don't know. I don't know how well they'll travel to Houston, because they certainly weren't, like – you know, planning on it before this weekend. So,
yeah, but a last second shot or near last second shot, and then Florida couldn't get it done. And everyone said Florida was the weakest one, even though Florida was, I think, the number two team overall.
You know, since we're here, let's just get it over with.
Okay.
Okay.
But we're going to talk about other things.
We will come back to Illinois basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
I just need to Iowa rant for
okay.
a little bit.
Because do you have IDS?
What's that?
Iowa derangement syndrome.
Maybe. Here's my only thing.
Are they living rent-free?
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Without question. Like, I am not ashamed to say any of these things, but it's pretty shameful stuff. Like, I was in St. Louis. I was driving back last evening. Got caught in a hailstorm in Mattoon to where we had to, like, I thought the windshield was going to break. Like, heavy hail coming down. I had to pull under an overpass and sit for a while. And the whole time, I'm just trying to not think about the possibility of Iowa beating Florida. I had seen, like, when we got in the car, let's see, we stopped somewhere, maybe to get gas or something. It was around Collinsville. Anyway, I'd seen a score of, like, Iowa 17, Florida 11 or something like that. And I was like, oh, God, no. No, 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 no. That would ruin my weekend. And I want to have a good weekend in no. So now, I'm not kidding. I am anxious for the next 2 hours. Like, my wife is, she took a little nap in the car on our way back. Then we were talking about something else. The thought of Iowa beating Florida never left my mind for 2 hours. I'm just sitting there like, no, 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 no. I don't want to go to breakfast at my hotel in Houston and have an Iowa fan serving themselves patty sausages next to me. I don't want it. I have to go into their arena. I have to listen to them. I've been to these football games. I've been taunted by them online. Remember that we had that one question about the Big Ten fan forums?
Yeah.
I was taunted by Herky in 1997, okay? I have taken more abuse from Iowa fans than any other fan base. I live my life out loud. They reach out to me constantly on Twitter. I will hear from them nonstop. And now they have to be in Houston. It's very, I'm going to go Mad Men here, okay? So this is a very niche kind of statement. There's an episode in season two or three of Mad Men where Pete Campbell, the young go-getter guy, is finally named head of accounts. And he's so happy. And then he finds out he was named co-head of accounts with another guy. And he is just like now devastated. And his wife shows up with a cake and they're going to celebrate. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of you. And it's just ruined for him. He's a child. He's a man who's a child. And it's ruined for him because Ken Cosgrove is also co-head of accounts. And so he's getting a promotion. He's getting everything he ever wanted, but he's pouting. That's basically me last night. When I found out Iowa won, I'm like, I don't want to go to the Sweet 16. Like, I was such, I'm texting with friends. I'm like, this is a disaster. I don't even want to be there. I moved. This is not a joke. I made sure my hotel was at least a half hour from downtown. For the reason is I don't want to go to breakfast in my hotel and be around Iowa fans. I'm hoping I'm far enough that no one would stay out that far so that there won't be Iowa fans around me. Rent free in my head. The disaster of possibly beating Houston and losing to Iowa will keep me up for the next three nights.
Okay. The flip side, though, there is Mr. Grumpy.
I have been presented that flip side by so many people. And
what do you think I'm about to say? What's the flip side?
What if Illinois beats Iowa to go to the Final Four and you can
or Nebraska?
Yes.
Or the fact that there is, okay, Houston is a formidable opponent, and mm-hmm. so would anybody else be.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody can look and see, wait a minute. If you get through Houston, you've already beaten Nebraska. You've yes. already beaten Iowa.
Yes. Again.
And for Pete's sake, if Purdue on the other, if you got to a national championship and had to face Purdue or Michigan, you at least have familiarity with, I mean, but it, you know what I'm saying.
The way I said it to everybody over text last night, and this is a phrase I've been repeating to so many people, I modified the phrase to fit myself, the heart doesn't want what the heart doesn't want, okay? My heart doesn't want Iowa anywhere near my personal Sweet 16
It's just
party.
Iowa? Is it not just this Big Ten? Is it
Iowa? We just went through this with Will Leach. Iowa ruined
yes.
my college experience. Bruce Pearl, by recording Deion Thomas nine times, turning it into the NCAA, Bruce Pearl ruined my college.
Is there any that was 36 years ago?
No, I have nothing.
Okay.
It's not. It's just not possible for me. It's not possible. And so I will carry that. Does it make me soft? 100%. Does it make me like, oh, come on, man. Like positive vibes here. I would love to have positive vibes.
Okay, let me give you
love.
Door number one mm-hmm. or door number two.
Hit me.
Door number one, Illinois exits the tournament in the Sweet 16. They lose to Houston and never face Iowa. Door number two is, they do beat Houston. They do beat Iowa. They go all the way, but have to lose to Michigan in the national championship.
Michigan national championship. I can still celebrate a Final Four. Final Four is a real thing.
So what if, because in that scenario, you also just beat Iowa? Isn't that more delicious? And you, in your exacting revenge upon your enemies tour that you wanted? Isn't this maybe not the path you'd planned, but could be a blessing in disguise?
Logically, yes.
The heart doesn't want what
but
the heart,
doesn't want what the heart doesn't want. Like, I can't, like, again, do you know how stupid it is for me to suggest that I wanted North Carolina to win the semifinal? Like, that could have been the difference between my team having a national title and not. And I still found myself like, please, God, no.
I can't.
Not Izzo.
I can't call anything you say or think stupid. I have too much respect for you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. But I'm such a ball of, like, anxiety and nerves because of, even with Nebraska. Like when Nebraska beat Vandy on that shot, I was watching and I was like, oh, I don't want to. Like, you know, but there's just, nothing to- I want to live in a little sports bubble where I don't have to worry about these things.
Yeah.
It's why, honestly, I've said this to so many people. It's why Illinois football forever has fit me so well. The low bar of expectations kind of thing. Do you know what I would have been like if it was Indiana? Like if this was like Indiana and Illinois was in the Rose Bowl playing Alabama, I don't know if I'd even be able to be there. Like I would be such a bundle of soup, a bundle of soup, a bundle of nerves.
Apparently it was frozen or dehydrated soup.
Yes. I would just be such
a bundle of soup.
I would be such a mess. I've told this to people many times. Iowa State game 2 years ago, the to get to the Elite Eight. With about 8 minutes to go, I wanted to go down to the floor. So I took the elevator down during a timeout. I could hear the game was about to start. And I just kind of hung around that. You remember that back room where we both ran into Bill Murray there and like all that kind of stuff? Like,
yeah.
You know, that little off to the side room there. I just kind of hung out down there for a little bit just trying to breathe. I was just like breathing exercises of like, I don't know if I can watch this. Like it's so, it means so much to me. I don't know if I have the emotional wherewithal to handle this. So I watched the rest of the game from that like tunnel that went out from there, and I could kind of see the court. And I had a really cool view of the Terrence Shannon steal and layup that cinched the game. But like this was like, it just, it matters too much. Like the emotions are too strong. Maybe I was just born with some synapse that was disconnected and I can't like logically turn these parts off of my brain. But yes, I am pouting because Iowa got an invite to my Sweet 16 party and I don't want them there. I don't want them, Mom. That's me right now.
Okay. Well, the alternative would have been they lost and you would have been moping about not making a Sweet 16.
100%.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a consolation.
No.
Okay.
I simply exist in this. I will be very, 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 very happy as long as Iowa doesn't beat Florida. Oh, God. What if Iowa beats Florida? They won't beat Florida. Let me just check the score. Iowa leads Florida? Oh, God. If Iowa beats Florida and I just devolve from there.
Is it? And there's no... Go Big Ten. Look, there's, what is it, six, seven team? Six, I think. Are
my
all still alive.
Ideal tournament of the Sweet 16 is one Big Ten team in the Sweet 16.
You wanted to be the Gonzaga of the Big Ten.
Yes, 100%.
Are they still in the WAC? I can't remember. Not the WAC, the West Coast Conference.
Yes, they're leaving, but this was their last WCC year. But
it was like, okay, well, Gonzaga's going, and they would just go 19-1 or whatever against their league. And the only loss would be Santa. Santa Clara.
And
right?
I've had this.
Not Santa Clara. What's the other
Saint
one?
Mary's.
Saint Mary's.
I've had this conversation with so many people of like, well, then what if the Big Ten falls apart, and then it becomes like a one bid league, and like you want this the Big Ten? Like, A, it'll never happen, but B, that sounds glorious. Like that sounds so exciting. Give me that world.
You want to be the big fish in the small pond?
Yes. This is why. Again,
the world. Okay.
The Michigan football game 2 years ago. Meant, I've said this to many people, that game, I believe, meant more to me than some fan of Ohio State that whose team won the national title that season. I fully believe the satisfaction I got after decades of Michigan dominating us, after the pain I held on to from the 2000 Bill LaMontagne show, of the refs taking that game from us, after all these moments, after the Amani Toomer punt return, all of that, to have a glorious day on a Saturday with celebrating Red Grange and beat Michigan, I don't know if a sports fan was that happy, even if their team won a title. Like, true, pure joy to this day for me, because of what my experience was leading up to this. And it's because of that experience that this stupid Iowa basketball thing exists in my brain, and it just won't leave, and I cannot stand that they'll be in Houston, too.
Perhaps for a different perspective, I'd like to say hello to producer
now
Ella
that
Peterson.
We've had therapy, now that Ella sees what it's going to be like when you get older and develop neuroses.
Welcome back from spring break.
Thank you.
I know
it's good to be back.
I know
I've been back. But.
Yeah, you spent at least some of it here because we work in sports. We love sports. So you were hanging out producing broadcasts of softball. I don't know if you were you doing baseball too? I know I saw you around. But anyway, welcome back. And do you have any differing perspective on the team that you root for making a Sweet 16 for the second time in 3 years?
I mean, I love it. So, but I am with Robert here on Iowa is my, like, number one school. For me, it's Iowa and Notre Dame. That's, like, I was never allowed to apply to them.
Excellent.
I don't think anybody else in
Fantastic
my family would ever be allowed
parenting.
To apply to them. And so those are, like, it hurt. I was watching the Florida-Iowa game, and I was like, my cousins go to Iowa. Mm. You know, like, we're the basketball school. We didn't have football. We always lost Iowa in football or whatever that field goal game was a few years ago.
Yep.
But we have basketball. I'm basketball. When my cousin Oscar comes to visit, it's like, come to a basketball game. That's what Illinois is. So I hate that they are raining our on our parade.
Mm-hmm.
But
thank you.
At least we have a parade.
Yeah.
Like, it's way more fun than not having
point.
A parade
That's
at all.
That's a great point. That's a really, really great point.
At least we have a parade.
Listen, shout out to your parents. Not letting you go to Notre Dame or Iowa is fantastic parenting. The biggest parental scare I had is when my son, as a freshman at Colorado State, was like, oh, my girlfriend goes to Mizzou. I might want to transfer to Mizzou. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I mean, that might be better for your life and all, but have you thought about my life? Have you thought about what that would do to me?
I'll make it worse here, because for my parents, they were Iowa Notre Dame. And I think for me, it's Mizzou. That's my one school that I'm there's nobody's going to Mizzou.
Right.
Nobody's going.
Right.
Nobody wants to go.
Right.
It's all right.
And the number of kids from the Metro East that have gone to Mizzou of late is disturbing. Like, come on, people. You're on the correct side of the river. Why are you going that direction?
Hey, speaking of that, tomorrow Illinois baseball will play its annual neutral site matchup with Mizzou. And this year it's going to be played in O'Fallon, Missouri. For those who've been with us from the early episodes, Ella is from O'Fallon, Illinois. Or as you would say, the correct O'Fallon or the...
The better O'Fallon.
It's always the better O'Fallon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I will experience the inferior O'Fallon, I suppose.
Oh, it's tomorrow. In O'Fallon, Missouri is
yes.
where the game is?
Yeah.
Oh, is it at, like the TJ Hughes Park that where
yeah.
the where the
River
Frontier
City
League? Yeah.
River City Rat. Well, it's no longer. I think it's a college ball, a summer ball team now.
That's right.
There,
but that's right.
The Hoots.
The Hoots. That's right.
The Hoots.
It had been in Sauget, where Gateway plays. I don't know the why it just moves around. I don't know
Got
how
it.
That happens.
Have
it's
you guys
been
ever
at Bush
had
before.
A Krispy Kreme hamburger from?
I have. Yes.
Isn't it good?
Yes. They make a burger at where the Gateway Grizzlies used to play before they were disbanded or whatever. They had a burger.
You mean River City?
It was Gateway Grizzlies first. Did they change to River City something?
No,
River
no.
City Rascals were O'Fallon.
Yeah, you're still talking about Sauget.
I'm talking Sauget. Yeah.
It's still there. Still yes. Gateway Grizzlies. That's what. Yes.
Got it.
They still
Got
exist.
It. And they have the burger with the basically two Krispy Kremes or the bun and then a burger in between.
That is good, Ella.
Oh my gosh, I'm not even about this, and it is like so much fun. I'm mad this game is not there anymore. I would totally go back home for the Krispy Kreme here. It's so good, and I don't even like. I'm not normally into that stuff.
You should still go though, and just sit in the stands and not boo Mizzou, but just boo O'Fallon. Just like wrong O'Fallon.
You right. You said it right there. Mo Fallon. There's an O'Fallon.
I didn't mean to.
And the. Correct people refer to that one as Mo Fallon.
All right, one more thing on this whole bracket. Great to see you, Ella.
Oh, I have one more question for Ella.
Okay, go ahead.
Let her go. Tell me what Sweet 16 plans are on campus. Do people go, like, you know, we've talked about football block and this kind of thing and, like, what people do and this and that. I'm guessing it's a people hit cams on Thursday night kind of thing or bar of their choice, or you know, because that's a big deal on campus is when it's a Sweet 16 game
well,
on
Ella
Thursday
said,
night.
Ella, you
Friday
said you were
night.
Going to the library, right? You were going to
oh,
go
I'm
study.
Totally going to the library.
Yes, yes. I mean, if you weren't so studious and if you weren't so tied to your education, what do you think might others be doing on campus on Thursday night?
I think it's really wherever. It's also your vibe. Do you want to actually watch the game, or do you want to go talk to your friends
that's
and have the game
question.
On in the background?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really switches up some people if you're going for the restaurant where you want to eat and, like, that's where you're seriously watching the game. Or if you're going, as you mentioned, to a Cam's, that's a little bit more, yes, you watch the game, but if you don't have a stool seat, you're just talking to everybody else.
Yep. Have you decided what you're... I mean, obviously you're going to be working on a 34-page turn paper, but what if you didn't? Have you decided what you would hypothetically be doing?
Hypothetically, I think I would just have to do, like, a couch TV and all my friends. Like, I think then I wouldn't really enjoy the Sweet 16. I think then you have fun after the game's over.
Those are great moments. Like, you can hear people across campus. Like, you can hear other people cheering from, like, their balconies and things like that. It's a big campus moment.
It's a fun time to be a student.
Yep.
I think I told you my national championship watching experience. Don't do what I did.
Okay, what'd you do?
I was with two friends from college. This is 05. I was with two friends from college. One was one of my best friends from college. The other was one of his best friends from growing up who also went to Illinois. And I am friends with by mutual association and still friends with to this day. However, the other member, even though he went to Illinois, he grew up in North Carolina. He grew up in North Carolina, and for whatever reason, his rooting interest for the Tar Heels trumped his rooting interest for Illinois. Don't watch a national championship game.
Especially one that ends like that.
And I'm going to tell you that that person is a priest. He is one of the kindest, most patient people in the world. He was not obnoxious. He was not rude. He wasn't like an Iowa fan in your Twitter feed. It still was tough.
I'll bet.
It's tough.
Just the knowledge of his joy and your devastation.
It's tough.
It's hard.
Yep. But I'm also one of those people, if everybody's not happy in the room, I'm just totally... it's hard for me to want something knowing what I want is not what somebody else wants.
I have always told myself that once Illinois finally does win a title, I won't be like this anymore. Like, this desperation in my soul will be gone and I'll be better. And I can logically approach a Sweet 16 weekend. It's fine that I was there. That makes it easier for Illinois.
What will be our hook for this podcast?
Yeah, great point. Great point.
Coming up on this episode, Robert's experiencing serenity, and there's no more drama.
Yes. Robert wrote a football preview that was 1,500 words because he no longer has anxiety in his body.
How was your trip back from St. Louis? Well, I was happy for those boys from Iowa to experience a good, great effort.
Nobody wants that, Rob.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody needs that in their life.
All right, final, before... I have two things to point out.
Okay.
You mentioned Texas, and in the bracket, I got the bracket here, the bracket, everybody in the Sweet 16, even the 11 seed, is... from a power conference, including UConn and St. John's Big East, which counts for me for basketball.
Sure.
So there's a lot of narratives out there. Is the Cinderella dead? It's really hard to call the Texas Longhorns a Cinderella, even as an 11 seed. It's hard to call Iowa a Cinderella as a 9 seed, because they're all coming from good conferences.
Yep.
So that's just being spun out there. There's a lot of theories about Portal and NIL and the realignment, and we're not that far away from your FAUs and your Drakes and your everybody else that has made, I don't know if Drake actually made a Cinderella
Wichita
run.
State, your George Mason.
Yeah, but I'm talking just a few years ago, not even that long ago.
Yeah, sure.
But still, there's a couple years now in a row where it's like, oh, everything's kind of chalky here, and it's all bigger budget programs.
Yep.
I mean, something to watch.
Would Mercer be better if Jake Davis were still there? Would, you know, UAB be better if Axel Lindeborg were still there? You know, like, it's there. There has to be something to that, right? Yep. With all of these guys transferring up, you know, you see those. The day, like today, the Monday after the first weekend, you see all the, here's where the players on the Sweet 16 teams began their college careers, and there's nobody with five starters who all, you know, everybody has at least one portal guy. So, you know, even Purdue, who prides themselves on, you know, look, we grow from within and we don't portal. So there's something to it. There's absolutely, you know, I feel like I don't think that that dramatization of is the Cinderella dead is too harsh, because there is really something to that of the programs with the money are the programs in the Sweet 16.
Last item I have on men's hoops. In the first round, Illinois beat Penn. We discussed this in our last episode. Today, I saw there was a posting from the University of Pennsylvania's band apologizing for a chant that they had. It was a very well-written apology and said, this doesn't match our standards and we were sorry to everyone involved. We realize sometimes, even if our intent was okay, that our actions weren't, and I'm paraphrasing it, sure. But and I thought to myself, oh gosh, I don't even remember. I didn't hear about this. What? And so then you start digging in the comments, like, what in the world did they say? It was the "That's all right, that's okay. You're going to work for us."
That was
someday.
What they were apologizing for?
As best I understand it.
Really?
And then it triggered something. Like, oh yeah, I did see that they had said that, because it made the rounds on social media, and I thought, we're offended by that?
Interesting. I don't.
Are we offended by that?
I don't think so. Northwestern used to chant it to us all the time.
I just didn't think, you referencing the history you have with Iowa. I just can't remember. Like, next time we see Penn, we better beat them again, because their band thought they were superior academically and in career advancement potential.
Let's weigh these two things. Assistant coach from Iowa brings up NCAA investigation that costs Lou Henson his career and costs us 5 years and ruins Jimmy Collins' career and everything else. And my 5 years only had one NCAA tournament win, my 5 years in Champaign. Chanting, "That's all right, that's okay. You'll be working for me someday." I think this one is going to hold a little more for me.
Would it be any better if the Iowa band apologized to you?
Look, there's a lot of Iowa people who need to apologize to me, and it starts with Bruce Pearl. I'll be waiting, sir, for your heartfelt apology for ruining college for me and what you did to Henson and Collins.
All right.
I have one other thing.
Okay.
And then we can go to the break. This has been like really important to me the last few years. So Illinois used to be up there in almost every statistical category, like top 10 in this, top 13 in this, top 9 in this, top 14 in this.
Are you speaking academically?
We're talking straight up basketball of like number of times appearing in the NCAA or the AP poll, number of times this, number of tournament appearances, this and that. And all those things started to crumble in the 2010s when there was just this long stretch of no tournaments and everything else. So Illinois caught into this glut of teams. I'm just going to read the lists out here. Gonzaga, Georgetown, Illinois, Cincinnati, Houston, and Maryland, and Marquette. So, like, Illinois had dropped behind, like, all of those teams on the who has the most NCAA tournament wins list. So Illinois went from, like, 17th on that list to 23rd or something like that. Well, bad. So after these other two wins here, Illinois is up to 48 wins, tied with Gonzaga. Let's see. There are one ahead of Georgetown now, two ahead of Cincinnati now, still one ahead of Houston, but we'll see what happens on Thursday night. Two ahead of Maryland, four ahead of Marquette now. They missed the tournament, this and that. Stuff like that is very important to me. It may not be important to a lot of people, but Illinois regaining this level of when they put out those lists of like, okay, here's the 10 teams left in the tournament. Here's the wins between them. Like, Indiana is now kind of in shouting distance here, kind of thing, you know? Like, it used to be Indiana was like fourth on this list. They're now something like 13th or something like that, you know? Like, these, where does that program stand really matter to me? And that's another thing about making the Sweet 16 again. Two more tourney wins puts you up higher on these lists, and it's very important that Illinois keeps its place there to me, just so that people remember and people know that this is a historic program. Obviously, winning a title would change all of that. And obviously, for Houston as well, they've been to the Final Four 7 times, never won. That will hang over their head until they do it. But for one of these lists, it's really important that Illinois gets back up there. You know, now within at least shouting distance of Indiana. If you go to the stats of, like, since the Big Ten, or since it expanded to 64 teams in early 80s, I think Illinois and Indiana are even tied at that point, you know, since all of Indiana's success happened before those seasons. So, yeah, it's really important that you get two more NCAA tournament wins. Who knows how many more will come, and you climb back up on that wins list, and you put the name Illinois back up there where it belongs with these other big-time programs that have won a ton of NCAA tournament games.
Good stuff.
Thank you. Thank you. Obviously, there's clearly like five teams, Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, Kansas, and UCLA. All of those teams have at least like 40 more wins than anybody else. Like, mm-hmm. Those are the five standards. Indiana used to be up there with them, but have obviously the last 30 years have been terrible. But yeah, it's just nice to get back up and start arguing, is Syracuse a better program than Illinois? I just want to have those arguments again. And I don't want Iowa in the room when I have it. Thank you very much.
We've got some other items to get to. Illinois women's basketball trying to pull off a stunner and get to a Sweet 16. Some spring football notes, a little bit on the diamond sports, some golf, and a couple of cleanup items from the comments that from our last episode. So we're going to do all that right after the break. You know, just before we recorded this podcast today, I was doing some preparation at Logic Coworking. You've heard us speak about Logic Coworking. They are a sponsor of Light the Eye, and they're a great venue for you to find some quiet, productive place to do your work, studying. If you're a remote worker, there are long-term options, be it a desk, a cubicle, or even an office space, and there's conference rooms to use as well. Whether you're looking for a month-to-month option or just a day at a time, you can find what you need at Logic Coworking. But just today, some friends of mine came in, and they were checking out the event space. So just want to let you know that at Logic Coworking in Champaign, there is space for you to host your events, whatever it might be, a professional gathering, a celebration, a party, you name it, they can do it for you. Fast free Wi-Fi, printing, there's a kitchen, and more available at Logic Coworking. And for members, it's 24/7 access. So check out our friends at Logic Coworking, corner of Neal and St. Mary's. Whether you're in town for a ball game and need a space to get some stuff done, or you're a regular around here, or maybe on campus and just looking for an alternative space to do something or a place to meet up with others, Logic Coworking is the place for you. By the time you're listening to this, either women's basketball is playing or will have played in Nashville against the number 2-seeded Vanderbilt Commodores. Winner goes on to the Sweet 16 to face either Ohio State or Notre Dame. So obviously there will be more to say about it the next time we talk. I'll just say this, the way the tournament is set up, it's really hard to lay out expectations for a non-hosting team to advance into the Sweet 16. Unlike Houston on the men's side, who's going to be playing the Illini in their own city, it'll still be a neutral site, technically, mm-hmm. be in the same city. But in this case, Illinois is playing Vanderbilt in the women's tournament on Vanderbilt's home floor in Nashville. So, Shauna Greene, you know, was even asked, you know, why are there not more Cinderellas in women's basketball? It's just the cards are stacked against you when you have to beat somebody on their home floor.
Speaking of, I just looked this up as you were saying this. Virginia just beat Iowa in double overtime on their home floor. 10-seed over a 2-seed.
Are you okay? Are you upset about that?
I don't know why I brought that up. It's not okay. Like I have any deep-seated Iowa issues.
It's not like...
I'm fine.
Look, when we said Light the Eye is the name of this show, I just want to emphasize, it's not light my hatred for Iowa.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, you're right. It's so hard to do, but man, gosh, let's dream a little bit, right? The game doesn't start for a couple hours. How great would it be to get an upset over Vandy? You know, I was looking at the lines today. That's actually why I pulled this up. Of, you know, UConn's a one seed playing 9 seed Syracuse. They're favored by 37.5. South Carolina is playing USC, who's decent, favored by 24.5. UCLA is playing 8 seed Oklahoma State, favored by 26.5. And even in some of these games with a 2 seed, you know, let me look from yesterday. Some of those games with a 2 seed, LSU played Texas Tech. They're favored by 27. So Illinois and Vandy is a 12-point line. Like, there's respect for Illinois, and there's a possibility here. Like, some of those other games are like, yeah, this is going to be over quickly. But a 12-point game could be done. Like, this is a – it's not – look, this is what climbing up to the 7 seed, this is what basically that win over Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament got them. Got them out of that 8-9 game into a 7 seed. And they got a 2 seed that's really good, but maybe has a few Achilles heels here or there that Illinois could do. So I'm excited for this game. I'm hoping that when people are listening to this, that they heard about an upset.
Well, Nashville's been good to Illinois athletics this year. You think first of the bowl win over Tennessee. Speaking of beating somebody in their home turf, kind of. Hoops got the win over Tennessee. Men's hoops did. The women won their first round game over Colorado in the same venue. And even volleyball won over Vanderbilt. It was in Nashville. Back at the beginning of their schedule. So who knows? Maybe there's some magic there in Music City.
That would be great. It would be so great. And my gosh, I mean, we keep talking about next season, but like, keep this team together and that would kickstart you know, if they got the Sweet 16 this year, what are they next year? You know, the youngest team in the NCAA tournament. They keep saying that on the broadcast. Youngest team in the entire tournament. Get to a Sweet 16 this year. What are they preseason next year? Like 11? Something like that? Bring everybody back? They're going to be ranked fairly highly going into next year. So, so yeah, it's really exciting for Shauna.
Both the men's and women's programs, too, have integral elite freshmen.
Yes.
Ciara Parchment set the freshman scoring record for a season in the midst of that Colorado win. So there's nobody else as a freshman that have scored more points in a single season for Illinois hoops. Broke Shatrice White's record that she set back in 2014-15, I think. So great job. And who knows? Playing with house money after this.
And it adds to that stat that the school put out of like there's only one school in the country that has won a bowl game, a men's NCAA tournament game, and a women's NCAA tournament game in the last 2 years, and that's Illinois. That's incredibly impressive.
Spring football is starting tonight. They're having their first practice.
I'll be there. Oh, wait. I'm being told. I'll stop. I'll be nice. I want to be there.
You want to be there?
Let me in. I want to be there.
Maybe later, we were told.
Yes.
Maybe later. Two things that I took away. One, no spring game. Mm-hmm. And Brett Bielema acknowledged a huge part of that is we have a new defensive scheme. We would rather it not be on tape for others to see. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. So there will not be a spring game for fans to see. Number two, and this is the bigger headline, and it will be the talking point from here through September, there is so much positional churn for Illinois, not only with any new players that come in, but also with current players. We're aware that Caden Fagan is going to be a tight end. Just today, at least to the start of spring ball, Daniel Brown is going to be the Mike linebacker. So he's been more of an outside guy. He's moving inside. But all of how everybody operates at the linebacking position is different in the new 3-3-5 or 3-3-5-ish scheme. I don't know how much ownership they want to take with the 3-3-5. Sometimes I hear like it's a 3-3-5, and other times I hear like, eh, well, it's not really a 3-3-5. But mm-hmm. I'll let smarter analysts than me tell me what defense that they are running. The point is, it's not the same as the defense they were running last year, and so how positions are used is going to be a little bit different. There's a number of guys that are going to be limited or modified. So Xavier Scott, not going to be participating very much. Matthew Bailey, same. James Kreutz had a wrist issue. He'll be like moving around as a linebacker, but he's not having contact. So there's a whole list of guys. And then the other thing we said is even the offensive linemen, there's going to be largely new players, mm-hmm. or at least new to starting.
Yep.
They haven't figured out yet, are you a tackle, are you a guard, are you on the right side, are you on the left side? I'm sure coaches are, they're not just, let's see what happens. There's a little more of a plan to it, but it sounds like they're in the, we have a plan, but we're willing to adjust that right now because everything is so new. So that's what I've picked up about spring football. There's a media availability today, and here we go. They have 15 practices to get ready for the fall.
Yeah, it's going to be easily the second, I'd say this is the second most unknowns of the Bielma era. Like 2021, obviously, we don't know what either scheme is. We don't know which of the returning players they're going to feature. Who of the young guys that they just brought in are they going to add? They had some JUCOs. This, you know, it was all unknowns in the spring of 2021. But this is probably second to that. 2023 was a big turnover, but this is probably the second most, like, we don't know. I don't have an answer to that question yet. I'll tell you after 15 spring practices, but we don't even know yet. You know, we had a really good idea last year. We had 18 returning starters in the bowl game. Now we have, what, 7 returning starters in the bowl game? So it's completely different. I saw Bill Conley came out with his returning production rankings today, his initial ones before the season. He takes the positions where it's important that you have returnees, and he weights the returning production, so it's not just a returning starter statistic. It says it's really difficult to replace a offensive line. It's a lot easier to replace running backs. It's easier to replace defensive linemen than it is to replace defensive backs, you know, all that kind of thing, and he weights it and puts it that. Illinois is 75th. So last year, Illinois was 4th in returning production on his rankings, and now 75th. So, yes, it's a big turnover year, and we shall see where all these things go. There's a lot to learn. So that's why I think they should let me go to practice, every game, so I can watch me, keep Iowa away. There we go.
Baseball took 2 out of 3 from Rutgers over the weekend. The bats were alive, first 2 ball games. It was a very challenging weather day yesterday. It started around 80 degrees, but the wind was blowing in the whole time, and the temperature just kept descending into, oh, that's a cooling breeze, into that is like a nor'easter wind in my face. Mm-hmm. Illinois had a 3-1 lead in the third game, but bullpen could not hold it, and once they fell behind, it was near impossible to get hits in that wind. Anyway, Illinois still won the series. Good sign. They've won 2 straight series. Would have been great to sweep it, and come up short. But great to see some of the guys that were struggling a bit at the plate starting to get back into form. Kyle Shupman, Jack Zeebig, among those. Nick Groves gets on base, but he's getting a lot of hits. Even hit his first home run with the Illini. Mm-hmm. So they just got to keep stacking wins because there are some very good teams yet still on their schedule. But there's a lot of space here. So you just keep winning more than you lose, and they'll be in good shape. Softball got swept by Northwestern. Northwestern's always a very solid program. Unfortunately, the Illini couldn't find very much. They got no hit on Sunday. So that is a tough one. I know you wanted to mention golf for a moment. You had a small golf nugget, or a mini golf nugget, if you will.
They're in a tournament right now in Oregon, and
mini golf. That's funny. See,
you know, we used to go to mini golf with my family, and we would bring our own putters, like all 4 of us. Like even my older sister had her own putter, and like people would ask, and like my dad would tell people that we were a professional mini golf family. I was so embarrassed. Like, Dad, stop talking.
But that's what embarrasses you?
Yes, that's it. Yes. Not embarrassed by telling people that he's pouting over Iowa being in Houston, but cannot stand when Dad said, yeah, we're professional. We live in a van and we travel around the country playing in family mini golf tournaments. Like, that's a thing. So the golf tournament is going on right now, and Max Herendeen has been struggling in the last few tournaments, and there's been a lot of talk, at least, you know, I have some group chats with some people who follow golf really closely, and he sat Max on the bench for this tournament, and I was very surprised. I mean, it's not like being benched in other sports, so you still play. You just play as an individual. Mm-hmm. And the guys on the team know that it can be like, let's just take some of the pressure off for a little bit. These tournaments don't count. It's not like we're at the regional yet, this and that. So it's not like one of those, like a baseball pitcher's been in the rotation and he gets sat down and said, look, we're sending you the bullpen. We just can't handle you as a starter anymore or whatever. You know, it's very true. But to motivate Max and to do something, he's gone to the bench and Ethan Wilson into the lineup. So very, very interesting, because Mike Small usually reserves those spots for his best guys that they have them locked up. But with Max's struggles, it's a week to give the other guys a chance. So very, very interesting.
Couple of items before we say goodbye. From commenters on our last episode. Mm-hmm. We were talking about great Illinois freshman seasons, mm-hmm. and somebody said, what about Deion Thomas in his freshman year? I don't know that we gave Deion his due there. At one point, he had the record, right?
It's true, but, I mean, it technically wasn't his freshman year.
Was it a redshirt freshman?
I mean, no, it was a Bruce Pearl freshman. He was suspended for a year during the investigation.
Oh, right, but his first year playing. Yeah. Yes. But in the record book, it's listed as a freshman.
I think so. I don't remember if they defined his year as a Prop 30 or not. Like, due to these questions about his academics, he does not pass the Prop 30 rules and has to sit out or something like that. I can't remember exactly how it went. But, yes, I mean, obviously in his first year playing, great freshman. But I don't know if he was technically a freshman.
Because didn't I just remember when Georgie Bishanisvili set the freshman singles game scoring record. He beat Deion's record.
Okay, so then maybe he was a freshman. Like Frank Williams, for example, was a sophomore his first year. He did not have a freshman year. Like Frankie would be on there, but he couldn't be qualified due to Prop 30 rules. So I just don't remember how that worked with the investigation and with Deion and everything else. I just remember it was all Bruce Pearl's fault.
This is the first time you've brought up Bruce Pearl or Iowa in this podcast.
I don't have any deep-seated issues. I don't need therapy. What's therapy for? Why would someone need
sports
therapy?
You got therapy, it'd ruin this podcast. So. Nope. I'm reasonable now. All right. The other thing we were talking about in our last episode was how long could we be on the floor with Illinois?
Yes. Against
Penn.
Yes, I saw that
Penn,
comment. I really liked it.
Against Penn, mm-hmm. and Illinois still win. Like, one of us has to be on the floor. How long could Illinois survive with one of us on the floor? And a texter says, no offense meant, but your discussion of the hypothetical suggests you've never been on the court in a competitive situation against Division I caliber players.
100%.
Well, my only thing is that was your clue? Us discussing whether or not whether or not Illinois could survive with us on the floor for 5 minutes?
Keep reading, because he makes a good point.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, sagging off mm-hmm. would be of no value.
Which is what I said.
Yeah. I doubt that you could actually commit a foul.
That's a great point. That was why I wanted you to keep reading. That's such a great point. Like, we'll just use our five fouls. Try to touch someone on the floor. Just try. While playing defense, just try to get up to him and touch him to foul him.
I forgot. Like, I figured I could reach out, but then I forgot they can move,
yes,
can't they?
Yes.
And if you had the misfortune of touching the ball on offense.
Yes. That's when we were talking about you're standing in the wing. We kick it to you on the wing.
Or I'm in the corner.
Yes.
The Jake
yes.
Davis corner.
Right. Jake Davis corner. Yep.
Yeah. If you had the misfortune... who has the misfortune of touching the ball? Mm-hmm. Would it be the team or myself?
Mm-hmm.
If you had the misfortune of touching the ball in offense, it would be an automatic turnover.
Absolutely.
I've gone against the lowest level of small college players and was very long ago halfway competitive. Big Ten players inhabit a different world.
Yes.
Look, in case you were under any illusion that I played Division I basketball, yeah, mm-hmm. you're right, I did not.
Yes.
But thank you, LaRue, for your comments there. And it was a fun hypothetical.
I like it. I actually have an email to read before we get out of here. Okay. I don't know if you saw this today.
No, I did not.
From Kane.
That's got to be Kane.
Kane says, "Hi, Scott and Robert. I'm not saying I'm superstitious, but can Robert not go to Houston? I do enjoy your episodes. I look forward to the next one, breaking down the Sweet 16 matchup for the men and possibly previewing the women's round of 32 game. I had both games up on my multi-view last night while watching them. Thank you, Kane." So let me address this. So the thing is, I had to leave Omaha in 2024 for a family issue.
Yeah, you talked about this last episode.
Mm-hmm. And we won. And then I had a funeral in St. Louis this past weekend, and Illinois went to the Sweet 16 again. So I'm sure Kane is saying, like, is the issue here, as long as Robert's not there, Illinois wins? Let me note that I was at the Iowa State game, okay? So after I couldn't be there in 2024, I did go to Boston, and I was there. So I feel like, following this logic with Kane, I need to be in the building for him and for everybody else when we play Houston, because if I was there to see us beat Iowa State as a 3 seed, then I need to be there to see us beat Houston.
But that would mean being in the same building as Iowa. And
you're right.
I'm still putting your attendance in doubt, mm-hmm. because I don't know if you can take it.
Well, as we've
proven, you can't be in the same hotel with
yes
somebody who's having a mid-level muffin at the Continental Spread.
Yes. Yes. We're staying at a Residence Inn. They have pretty good muffins. I know my Marriott. I heard it's pronounced Marriott. Like they just came out and be like, "Hey, it's not Marriott. Everybody's been saying that for 60 years, but that's wrong. It's actually Marriott."
All right. Well, we're breaking news here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. But I know all their breakfasts. I know what Fairfield's going to serve. I know what the Residence Inn's going to serve. I got those breakfasts down. So the muffins at a Residence Inn, they're going to be a little bit above mid-level.
I can see why the Penn folk are apologizing.
Yes, you're right.
We didn't understand.
Yes.
We didn't understand. You know what the levels of breakfast are at Marriott's.
You, too, have educational excellence.
All right. And finally, shout out crabs.
I'm sorry, what?
I would like to acknowledge a friend, co-worker at the Village of Savoy,
mm-hmm.
Parks and Rec director is named Nick McDuffie. He's got a couple of hermit crabs
mm-hmm.
that he recently acquired.
Yeah?
And he has named those crabs.
Uh-oh. Keaton?
Nope.
Okay.
Close.
Kylan?
Kylan Clawswell.
I like it. I'm a big fan. Huge fan. Hold on. Let me guess the other one. Give me the first name.
Well, it'll give it away.
Oh. Tom is...
No.
David.
It's Crab Underwood.
Crab Underwood and Kylan Clawswell.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And are they the secret? Are they the reason we're going to advance past Houston?
I don't know. If
we'll do any kind of thing like put something in front of them, like an orange ball and a red ball, and see if Clawswell will grab the orange ball, and that means Illinois is going to win.
All I know about these two crabs is he said, you know, the two guys. I said, "Do you know they're guys?" He said, "Actually, I don't know." I'm like, "Well, maybe more crabs will show up." And he said, "Actually, they need salt water to fertilize." So
interesting.
I think these two are just going
to
be cohabitating.
You come to light the eye for your crab knowledge. For all things crab, we're your guys. We should probably turn the light off and
we
leave
wish
people alone
everybody
now.
Out there, with or without crabs, a great week. Enjoy the next rounds of the NCAA tournament. And whatever happens from here, we'll find out if Robert's crabby or not.
He will be, because he's going to be around Iowa fans who ruined his life in the 90s.
Thank you, Ella Peterson, our producer. Thanks to the folks at the Center for Innovation and Teaching and Learning at the U of I. in the Armory. We'll talk to you again.
Go Lions.